We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
We're talking this morning on the subject of get in over your head. And we talked about the Holy Spirit, and for everybody online, I want you to, from the get-go, encourage you as well to get out a pen and paper, to maybe whatever electronic device you have, take notes, because I'm telling you, this is good teaching. And you want to take a hold of this, you will. It will help you, but equally, it will help you help others on this subject. The Holy Spirit, who is He? Number one, He is God. He is the third person of the Godhead. Number two, He is a person. He's not a force. He's not,
use the force, Luke.
It's not some aura. It's not some feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is in charge of present operations. In other words, the Bible says, Jesus said, when He comes, the Spirit of truth, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. God is in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Spirit is leading and instructing the church. Number four, He's gentle. And the Bible talks about the Spirit of God descended on Jesus like that of a dove. Okay? He is life in Himself. When Jesus died and gave up His Spirit, it was the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And number five, He is creative life. Anybody who can't imagine a better future, anyone who struggles with boredom, anybody who's struggling with creativity, all you need to do is tap into the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, in the beginning was God. How many are glad to know it was God in the beginning? I don't know about you, but I'm glad it wasn't Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Amen. I'm glad to know, in the beginning, God. And it says, He created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was dark and formless and void. Amen. And the Bible says, God said, let there be light. And out of nothing, He made everything. And the Spirit of God was just waiting for God to speak. And the Spirit of God created all that God spoke. So if you are lacking in creativity, imagination, if you are lacking in freshness or in some way, you know, you're bored, I want to tell you, God can make everything that we live in out of nothing. What can we do with the Spirit of God that's created this world, that's already sparked our imaginations? Amen. And so what is He like? He's like fire. He's like a refiner's fire, the melting gold. To get the gold to be pure gold, you got to melt the gold so all the dross comes to the surface. He's like water. Water is essential for the germination of seed. When you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit can illuminate. Matter of fact, I'm believing today, because of this preaching I'm going to do today, that next time you're watching a TV show, next time you're watching a movie, next time you're listening to music, that the Holy Spirit will water your life, and you'll actually have a greater level of discernment as to what's really going on in this natural world. I think we are so ruled and led by our flesh, it would shock most of us. What we think is spiritual, I want to tell you, you know, some people would love to blame the devil for everything. And it's like, if in doubt, cast it out. And I think what we think is spiritual often is more just natural. And what we think is natural is often more spiritual. And my prayer today is the Holy Spirit will just water the word that I'm preaching today, so that maybe next time, if someone's having problems with depression, the very first thing I'd encourage you to do is look at the music you listen to. Listen to the people you talk to. Amen. And maybe as a result of this word today, you'll get an insight on how to better lead your spirit man. Thank you. That was underwhelming, I thought. That was really good. Okay. He's like a dove. The Holy Spirit's gentle like that of a dove. He's like wind. Wind is an unseen force or power that produces visible results. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effect He has. And I'm going to preach on it one of these days about, Son of Man, can these bones live? Prophesy to the wind. And the word breath and the word wind and the word spirit are interchangeable. And then He's like oil. So that's a recap on what we did. We talked about you got to go from ankle deep, which is walking in the shallow end of what God has for us, to going to the knee deep. I believe ankle deep is a beginning of a Christian faith. It's like learning the need for a Savior, ankle deep. It's like tithing to me is ankle deep. It's elementary. Water baptism is ankle deep. You can never go, I don't think, into swimming into the river of God until you basically walk through the basics of what your Christianity's walked out and lived out. Then knee deep. I think that talks about our prayer life, and I want to talk about that today. And then we're going to go to waist deep, which speaks of our loins. It speaks about not just sexual purity, but committed to live a life that is blameless and above reproach, that we wouldn't be a stumbling block to somebody else. And then to the point of getting in over your head. And the Bible talked about Ezekiel, and he went into the river from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep, and then he was swimming in the river. So strong was the river that he couldn't get across the other side. And then this unnamed guide brought him back, and there were all trees in full-blown maturity and fish that weren't there before. That river became alive, and we know the river is the river that flowed out of the temple, and the source of this river is God. And the thought is, in that illustration, that story, is that God wants you and I to progress in our relationship with God. And God wants us to get in over our head. My starting scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit. A person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit. I was convinced when I became a Christian that my brother would truly believe in God if I could just somehow get him to see a demonic manifestation. My brother didn't believe in God. He wasn't interested in church. He was put church aside long ago. And I thought if my brother could see the devil's real, it might just convince him to believe that God is real. And so I used to, I'd say if I could just get him and maybe there was a demonic manifestation that might convince my brother. My brother was without the Spirit. And without the Spirit, you cannot understand things that come from the Spirit. Does it make sense? And so I actually brought him to church, and my brother said to me, "This is disgusting. This should not be allowed to happen in public. This should be banned." And every time I'd bring him to church, there was never one of those services where a demon manifest. It was always, it's almost like God was going, no. Don't think your brother's going to become a believer because of what he sees that is demonic. He'll become a believer when he meets me. And actually, that's actually end up what happening. And so the Bible says the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. How many know that's true? And cannot understand them because they are discerned, watch this, only through the Spirit. So I want to start by saying this. I want everybody online, listen to me now. Our natural mind will always get in the way of comprehending what the Spirit's doing. Our natural mind will always struggle to and get in the way to understand what the Spirit's going. That's why this scripture in Ezekiel is really trying to teach you and I that we got to get in over our head. That's why the Bible says that the spiritual things are foolish to the natural person. And let me put it this way. Jesus said of the Pharisees, when Jesus would heal someone supernaturally, which is supernatural, spiritual, and the Pharisees would look at it, and rather than look at the miracle that Jesus performed, would say, why would he do this on a Sabbath day when he's not supposed to work? And miracle working is working. And they'd be more interested in the fact that Jesus was working than what it was that Jesus did that caused a blind man's eyes to open. Matter of fact, they used to say Jesus cast out devils by the power of the devil. Now, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you strain out this gnat, but you swallow the camel. Amen? And in an actual fact, the Bible says that the devil can appear as an angel of light, as a messenger of good. And we live in a world where we have so ruled by our natural life, our natural mind, and we can have more faith in science, and we can put more faith in the three-dimensional world we live in than we do the things of God. Are you catching this? And then I think we can also lack discernment. I think spiritually, things that are happening in the spirit that we miss because we're not, the Bible says the natural mind cannot comprehend it. And I'm going to say something that's going to offend some people. And if I offend you, let me at least challenge you rather than offend you. I'm, and again, it's not just this one thing. I think it's an illustration of how much we miss what's really going on. But I think actually Harry Potter is inspired by the devil himself. And I think it's demonic. I think it's full of witchcraft and sorcery and spells, which the Bible says we're to stay away from and have nothing to do with. And I know some people, Christians, who lack discernment as to what this represents and are happy for their children and their young people to watch it and not to understand how the scripture warns us to stay away from these things. And I have way more concern for my children and my grandchildren with Harry Potter than I would COVID. And I see parents trying to take care of their children for COVID, but have no discernment for their children spiritually, what they're exposing their children to that is actually contrary to the wisdom of God. And how mature Bible-believing Christians, and it's not just Harry Potter, it's music you listen to. You got to get in over your head. And so I've got two goals today. You ready for this? And by the way, if that offends you, I want to say, let me at least put that thought in your head. And maybe the next time you watch it, you might just have your eyes open a little bit to put a bit of a Bible filter and ask yourself, is this pleasing God? You with me here? And if you still want to go down that road and think what you think, you'll feel free to be wrong. Praise the Lord. Okay. So number one, I got two goals today. I want to show you biblically there's a difference between being saved, which is a work of the Spirit, and number two, being filled with the Spirit. And I believe biblically there is a difference. When you get saved, you don't have everything or all that God wants you to have. You are saved. You are no longer going to hell. You are now going to heaven. You are born again. It is a work of the Spirit. It is a miracle of the Spirit of God that you're translated out of darkness and you're translated into the kingdom of light. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. Amen. Jesus put it this way when he spoke to a religious person called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said, Master, what about me? What is it that I need? What's going on in my life? And Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, no one, including you, Nicodemus, because that's who he's talking to, can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. The Bible says, Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. But if we just live out our natural mind and don't have an understanding to the Spirit of God, the wisdom of the Word of God, we can live in a very pluralistic, universalism kind of way of thinking. Sure, and I know Bible-believing Christians who've regressed in their faith, in their spiritual discernment, and somehow think that hell isn't for everybody, that someone who did not yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would not go to hell, they don't believe they would not go to heaven just because they didn't encounter Jesus. But Jesus said it this way, listen, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. Jesus said, you must be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And I know people who've been filled with the Spirit of God that lack the conviction and the knowledge. They've been succumbed to a natural world where, let me tell you something, Mormonism is not the way. Baha'i is not the way. Allah is not the way. Buddha is not the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one is going to heaven without him. And yet even in the church, there are Christians who fail to believe and understand the most basic of what I think, the importance of understanding. And we've allowed our mind and pluralism and tolerance, come on, to actually affect what God says in His Word. So, without a doubt, anyone who comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus is born again. You are heaven bound. But there is a subsequent thing that happens after salvation. It can happen with salvation, but mostly happens in Scripture after salvation, and that is getting filled with the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit, a work of salvation. How many thank God you are born of the Spirit in Jesus' name? You know, come on online, give me a thumbs up. How many of you know that you, if you, God forbid, but if you were to die today, you'd be with God in heaven today? Amen. How many thank God for the confidence we have? That is a work of the Spirit. No one can come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws them. I know for me, that happened when I was 17. But I was determined that my children, just because I knew God, they had to have their own encounter with Jesus. Amen. So look at this now. I want to show you there is a difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. You ready for this? I'm going to show you a few examples in Scripture. Number one, the disciples. And let me turn to you, John 20, verse 22. And this is, I got to get this, if you'll allow me, this is a doctrinal moment because it's important we understand this. There is no doubt that Jesus taught the disciples when they came back to him saying, Lord, even demons are subject to your name. Jesus said, rejoice not that demons are subject to my name. But listen to what he said. Rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life. Okay? So Jesus in that moment as he's living on earth is without a doubt, in my mind, clearing up. You're heaven bound. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Are you hearing on me? Are you hearing me? But without a doubt, when Jesus died for our sins, then those early day disciples are the very first recipients of the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. Are you hearing me? And when Jesus died and then he went down into the grave, took the keys of hell and of death, and as he resurrected and came back on planet Earth, he started talking to the disciples. Now, we know because of the first Adam, stay with me now. Come on, everybody online, stay with me. Amen. The first Adam, the Bible says that when he sinned, we all fell into sin. Okay? But before he sinned, he was the first Adam, which was perfect. You with me here? And the Bible says, watch this now, that Jesus, when he came back to life in John 20, verse 22, but he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He what? Breathed. Remember that word breath and spirit are interchangeable? So let's go back to the first Adam just for a moment. And the first Adam, the Bible says, laid there on the ground and he was the form of a human, yet he had no life in him, he had no spirit in him, or no breath in him. And the Bible says God breathed his spirit into Adam, and Adam came alive. That's the first Adam. The problem is the first Adam sinned. So along comes the second Adam, who is who? Jesus. And in this moment, after Jesus died and he resurrected, he went and presented his living sacrifice, his blood, before the throne room of heaven, and God chose justice and forgiveness. He now comes back to the disciples and he does the same thing that God did to the first Adam. Because Jesus is the second Adam, which is better than the first Adam, and he breathed on them. If there was any question as to the new covenant salvation of the earliest of believers, it is removed right there. Receive the Holy Spirit. They were born again. And there's no question that they had an encounter with Jesus and the risen Savior who breathed on them the breath of God, the Spirit of God, and they were born of the Spirit. Somebody ought to clap and give God praise right there. That's called anthropology, if you're wondering. Okay, that's called the doctrine of man and sin. And Acts chapter 2, watch this now, when the day of Pentecost come, which is many days or weeks afterwards, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like, everybody say like, The blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. And it says where they were sitting. And there what was seemed to be, everybody say seemed, to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Watch and notice. These are things happening that are called similes. It's not literally wind, but it's like wind. It's not literally fire, but it seemed to be. These are happening in the realm of nature outside of the disciples. They are never talked about again in any other subsequent filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But the one tangible, consistent thing that is repeated throughout Scripture whenever someone's filled with the Spirit of God is what I'm about to read to you. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The only consistent, continual, ongoing evidence of being filled with the Spirit is the ability to pray in an unknown tongue. The fire and the wind never happened again. And we got some people who love to build a doctrine out of one remote verse, and a half-truth is a whole lie. Amen. So there's no question the disciples were born again before they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at this one, the Samaritans. It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs that he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many. A lot of what we think is the devil isn't. And a lot of what is the devil, we don't discern. And it says, impure spirits came out of many. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy with that city. How many of you know that's a revival? Amen. Now look at this. Come on, stay with me now. Seaboard, online, watch this now. Verse 14. When the apostles, let me just mention the apostles. The Bible says that the New Testament church is formed on the foundation of the apostles, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And here we see the apostles hearing about a revival in Samaria. People are getting born again. Okay? When they heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John. And when they arrived, they prayed for the who? New believers. How many understand? These are Christians born of the Spirit. Can anybody see that? That they might receive what? The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, watch, had not yet come on any of them. They're new believers. They're born of the Spirit, but they're not yet filled with the Spirit. And the apostles say, let's send down some brothers and pray for them. And they placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Can anybody see it? The disciples. And now we're looking at the Samaritans. Let me show the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's on his way to Damascus. He was called Saul. And he wants to stamp out Christianity. He's killing people. He's putting Christians in jail. He is against this New Testament Jesus Messiah movement. He's trying to stop it out of zeal for God of the Old Testament. Can you see it? And now on his way, so effective was Saul that Jesus himself from heaven supernaturally intervenes and knocks him to the ground. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Everybody understand he's getting a clue? And Jesus says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You're swimming up the stream. You need to be swimming downstream. You are fighting the very thing I'm trying to build. Yet it's out of your love and religious zeal for me that you're fighting this. But I am this. Stop it. Could you imagine how Paul felt? He was there at the stoning of Stephen and the very first New Testament martyr. Saul was the one that said, have at it. And now all of a sudden he has this encounter with Jesus. How many know this man's born again? And God says, go into Damascus and wait there. And I'll send someone. Come with me now to Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. How many know Saul's had an encounter with Jesus? And placing his hands on Saul, he said, greetings, watch, brother. He's acknowledging that Saul has had a born-again conversion. He's calling him a brother. It says, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road 3 days ago as you were coming here has sent me that you might receive your sight, for he was blinded by the light, dressed up like a dude. He was a roller in the night. Some of you will get that. Some of you have no idea what that was. Okay. And it goes, has sent me that you might receive your sight again and be filled with the Spirit. 3 days ago, a life-changing encounter with Jesus. 3 days later, Ananias comes to pray for him to receive it. Acts chapter 10. Watch this. And Caesarea, there was a man called Cornelius, a centurion man, what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family, like any good Italian, you never do anything alone, you always bring the family. Is that right? He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. How many of that saying they're Christians? Come on. And they gave generously to those who were in need, and it says, and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And Cornelius stared at him in fear and said, what is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Hey, church, don't ever think that your prayers and your generosity does not get God's attention. Your giving to the house of God get God's attention. Your prayers gets God's attention. Now send men to Joppa and to bring back a man called Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I want that kind of prayer life with that Cornelius has. This man's hearing from God in great clarity. Send for Simon, who's called Peter, and he's staying at Simon the tanner's house down by the sea. And by the way, another translation says on Straight Street. He actually gives him the street there to go to. When was the last time you heard from God that clearly? Your new job is going to be in Norfolk and it's going to be in Granby Street. I want you to go to this person who lives in Portsmouth. Are you hearing me? How many was the last time we heard that clearly? Now, so Peter comes because of this vision. They send men. And while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, who were they? The Jews. It says, who had come with Peter, were astonished, watch, that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Well, how did the circumcised believers know that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them? Look, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The evidence of not just they are born of the Spirit, but they are filled with the Spirit was inescapable, tangible, quantifiable, measurable, definitive. It wasn't just a warm glow when you get saved. But these people were given a heavenly prayer language. Thank you for the underwhelming response. The last one is Paul coming to Ephesus. And it says, while Apollos was in Corinth, chapter 19 of the book of Acts, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And he found some disciples. If you're a disciple, there's no question, you're a Bible-believing person. Amen. And the very first question he asked them, look at it. He meets them. What was the first question? When you meet someone and you find out they're a believer, what would be the first question you would ask? Who are you voting for? What do you think about the coronavirus? What do you believe about end times? Listen to the Apostle Paul. The very first question he asked, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? And Paul right there again is teaching us, just like when we read about the Samaritans. They had received the word of God, but not yet received the Holy Spirit. Paul's going, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we haven't even heard there be one. Paul says, how'd you get saved? This guy called John the Baptist. Oh, he's awesome. He was pointing to Jesus and he prayed for them. And the Bible says he baptized them into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he prayed for them. And they, the Bible says, began to speak in other tongues. So I want to show you without a doubt, because I want to talk to you about getting in over your head. And I want to talk to some Christians who aren't yet in over your head. You're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you in the service today that you will get filled with the Spirit. Anybody want to believe with me? But I don't just want to pray for people who don't yet have that heavenly prayer language. I want to pray for some Christians who aren't using it anymore. And I want you to get back in over your head. Get back into the river. Get back into swimming. Because there are some things that are only discerned by the Spirit of God. Now, here's what I want to finish by saying, just a couple of simple things, and we're going to pray. I want you to understand that God wants you to have it. How many want to have whatever God wants you to have? Okay, that's half of you. Online, come on, stay with me now. How many of you want to have whatever God wants you to have? Look at the Bible says. In Acts chapter 1, it says, on one occasion, this is Jesus talking to the disciples before they're filled with the Holy Spirit. He was eating with them, and he gave them this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. So Jesus wants them to go around changing the world, but you will not change the world till you've received this gift. You got to wait for this. And my Father wants you to have it. Amen. Okay. Your heavenly prayer language is the consistent, continual evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Number two, it is your heavenly prayer language. Number one, God wants you to have it. Number two, it's your heavenly prayer language. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. No one, not even you, understands them. Come on, somebody. For they utter mysteries by the Spirit. It is God giving you a heavenly prayer language that your natural mind will not, cannot understand. Why? Because you're getting in over your head. This is beyond the natural mind. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. So I want to say it again. Listen, God wants you to have it. Number two, it is your heavenly prayer language. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying mysteries. And the Bible tells me we don't know how to pray as we should. But as we pray with wordless groans, we are praying the perfect will of God. Number three, it'll strengthen your inner man. Jude 1, verse 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. When you and I pray in the Spirit, when we pray in a heavenly prayer language, we are building ourselves up in our faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Jude says, you build yourself up in Jesus' name. I love this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though the outward man is wasting away, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And all we got to do, and this is my closing thought, to receive what God has for us. Some of you to get in over your head for the first time. Some of you to get back in over your head. Because the bottom line is, if you don't use it, you lose it. Amen? We walk in the flesh, but we war in the Spirit. And we've got to know what's going on naturally, and we've got to understand what's happening supernaturally. All you got to do is ask. If then, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How many know we know how to give good gifts to our children? I was in my garage just yesterday, and I'm looking at all the gifts I've got for my grandchildren. Little electric cars. Jax has got a motorbike, a little 50cc motorcycle. That's a good gift. until he and I wrote it just recently, and I broke my finger because he crashed into the back of one of my cars. And that was wonderful. Praise the Lord. It hurt like crazy, but I couldn't let Jax know I got hurt or he'd never ride on the bike ever again. I know how to give good gifts. Are you hearing me? And if we who are evil, we are not holy, God is. If we who are carnal know how to give good gifts to our children, watch what it says. How much more? Now, you didn't hear that. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? The problem is you've got to get in over your head. And some people, well, what if I get a demon? If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, He's not going to give you a demon. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit? All you got to do is ask God, and He'll give you this heavenly prayer language, and you will pray the perfect, pleasing will of God. It will profit the natural mind nothing. It will not make any sense whatsoever. But you've been given a prayer language where you build yourself up in your most holy faith. You edify yourself. You pray the perfect, pleasing will of God. Come on, somebody. I want to pray for people today online. And at Seaboard and right here in this building, I want to pray for you if you've not yet received a heavenly prayer language. By the way, what I just taught you is 40 hours of teaching in Wave Leadership College that I teach once a year. And anybody who wants to sign up for that class, we're starting a new semester, and I didn't have time. I just gave you 28 minutes. I'd love to give you all of it, but it takes about 40 hours. It's called Pneumatology, the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Anybody who wants to sign up for that class, it's about 3 hours a week for about 15 weeks. I'd love you to sign up, Wave Leadership College. I will be teaching it along with Professor Chris Elliott. And that's not a shameless plug. That's me telling you, if you really want to study this subject from the entirety, I'm telling you, sign up. You'll enjoy it. I don't have time to get into the gift of tongues, the sign of tongues, what tongue needs to be interpreted, what tongue does not need to be interpreted. But there is a tongue that God gives you, a heavenly prayer language, that doesn't need to be interpreted. And it's the sign. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. They will cast out devils. They will drink any deadly poison, and it will not harm them. I'm not suggesting anybody should go around trying to drink deadly poison. Are you hearing me? You don't try and just test God like that. But the Bible does say that nothing shall harm you. Amen. And I want to pray for you today, if you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, that you might receive this gift in the service right now. And I want to pray for those today who maybe once you got in over your head, but the truth is it's been a long time since you prayed in the Spirit. And I've come today to stir you up and say, come on, this is what it's for. And I love to walk into, well, not, I do this, by the way. If I've ever been to your house and I'm trying to figure out, hey, is this a potential great leader for the church? Is this a potential great leader for our staff? And I love to walk into someone's home. And one of the things I do is I deliberately just begin to pray in the Spirit. And I love to look at the look on the kids' faces. And if the kids go, then I know they've never heard that before. But if they go, huh, then I know they've heard it before. Because what walks in the Father runs in the children. And I'm looking for people who can be leaders in Wave Church that know what it is to be filled by the Spirit. William Booth, it was a prerequisite in the Salvation Army that you could not be an officer in the Salvation Army unless you had this gift of the Holy Spirit. So it was so important to him that the leaders in the church had this gift that you couldn't even be an officer in that army. I think he turned in his grave today if he saw what it's become. That's not to say the Salvation Army doesn't do a lot of good works. But I think in terms of what he would want of an officer, I think he'd be sadly disappointed what it's turned into today. Can I just encourage us? Get in over your head. This is Wave Church. We believe the Bible. We believe in the gift of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that's a mic drop. That's good preaching right there. That is teaching you Bible. That is teaching you what it is to live a Spirit-filled. And next Sunday, when we speak to all the campuses, I want to talk about how we can live a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led life and know the anointing, the power, and the presence of God. You don't want to miss next Sunday. But right here, Look at me now. Everybody online as well. Listen to me. How many of you don't yet have this gift of the Holy Spirit, this heavenly prayer language? And how many of you once got it, but you're not using it today like you were? I want to pray for you. If you want me right now, right here in this service, we're going to pray for you. And you say, Steve, I don't have it or I need to get it back. I want you to lift your hand right now. Everybody online, why don't you just say me, pray for me. And we'll have that online campus pastor. But in this auditorium, how many don't yet have it? Or the truth is you do have it, but you're not living in it anymore. Amen. Just put your hand up, let me see. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wow, hands everywhere. Wonderful, wonderful. Where are you? There, 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 there. Come on. Are you going to believe with me? Are you going to believe me, these people, and online? Are you going to believe with me? Now, here's what happens. Normally in Scripture, the Bible says they laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But did you know on the day of Pentecost, nobody had it to pray for them. God gave it to them. Did you know when Peter was preaching that Peter was so, didn't even think that God could do it, that Peter didn't even think to lay hands on to receive it. So the Holy Spirit gave them to him, to the Cornelius' family, because Peter was never going to pray for him. And I believe this morning, in light of all that goes on with COVID, that we're not really supposed to be laying hands on people, but I'm not worried about that because God can fill you just like he did in Acts chapter 10, just like he did in Acts chapter 2. I'm not going, oh no, we can't get a miracle today. The Bible says when Peter walked past people, just the shadow healed people. I believe in the power of God. I believe right now, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. If you're at home, I want you to stand as well because I want you to be part of this service. I don't just want you watching this service. I want you participating in this moment. And if you lifted your hand, can we give the Lord a hand for all those people that said they want to receive it? I'm going to believe right here, right now, people are going to get this. Amen. I only want people to have what the Bible wants you to have. Are you hearing me? I want to pray for you. Now, how many of you, by the showing of hands, are filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in a heavenly prayer language? Can I see your hands? I'm going to need you to help me because we're not going to lay hands on these people because, you know, we're being respectful of the environment and all that we're dealing with. But I do want all of us in a moment to begin to pray who are filled with the Spirit, begin to pray. And I want to lead everyone who has not yet got this gift in a prayer of receiving this gift. And then we're all going to pray. And I'm going to just say, be filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe if you'll just lift your hands, that God will give you words that are not your own. Your mind will reject it, but you got to get in over your head. Come on, somebody. I want you to begin to believe that you're going to pray in the Spirit as the Spirit gives you the words. But you've got to do the speaking. I can't do it for you. You've got to do it. Amen. Are you ready? Can we all pray this prayer? Everybody say, Jesus, I ask you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, say it out loud. For the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I ask you for a heavenly prayer language. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want everybody to lift your hands and begin to pray in the Spirit. And I want everyone who lifted your hand a moment ago just to believe God. Lift your hands and you allow yourself begin to pray in the Spirit as the Spirit will give you the words. The Holy Spirit can touch you where you stand. Let's begin to pray. Everybody who is filled, pray with and for those around you. God, I'm asking for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for the infilling of a heavenly prayer language. Come on, begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on, lift your voice. Singers, come on, begin to pray in the Spirit. Singers, begin to pray in the Spirit. Let's begin to pray in the Spirit. Lord, fill every single person whose hands were raised to be filled with the Spirit. Those of God who believe to be filled again with the Spirit, fill them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for the mighty baptism. Fill them, oh God. Come on, hands lifted toward heaven. Come on, you got to get in over your head. Lord, today, a heavenly prayer language, mysteries. Oh God, we thank you that as we do this, we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up. We pray the perfect will of God in Jesus' name. Can we give God praise for what just took place? How many of you already found yourself praying in the Spirit for the first time? How many of you already found yourself praying again in the Spirit? Let me see your hand. Over there, over there, over there. Look at all these people here. Where are you? Come on, anyone else? Yeah, right there. Come on, thank God. Come on, online. I want to see some thumbs up. See, the message, the series message is called Get In Over Your Head. Some of you are going to walk out a little freaked out today. You've never heard or seen this? Go to your Bible. Read your Bible. I just taught you what's in the Bible. Amen? And I want to say this to you. Anyone who hasn't yet got that prayer language, I'm going to ask our pastors to be available at the end of this service. Now, we're going to respect social distancing, but we're going to get around you within about a 6-foot margin. And we just want to pray you through if you want to get that prayed through. Is that okay? There's one more thing I need to do before I give it back to Josh. And then we're just going to receive and encourage people to give and then end our service with a couple of quick announcements. I want to pray for everyone who hasn't given their life to Jesus. Look at me now. Everybody online. Matter of fact, already 3 people online have made a decision. While we're praying for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit, people are making decisions to get born of the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? I want to pray for anyone. Look at me. Anybody online, all you got to do is click that button as well. I'm making a decision. But in this auditorium, while we're still standing, I just want to pray for you. I talked about being born again. I talked about being born a work of salvation. And I want to pray for you today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're not yet a Christian, or maybe you once were walking with the Lord, but you know today you're not walking with Him like you once were. Could I pray for you as well? Could I pray for you? I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to, we're already standing. I'm just going to ask you if you too will just lift your hand. And just by lifting it, I'll just know who I'm praying for and that we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. Who's believing with me people are going to make a decision to put their faith in Jesus today? You see, my friend, what I just taught today was the Bible. And the Bible says, listen, these signs will follow the preaching of the Word of God. What we just heard and read about in Samaria is still happening today. And I want to pray for you today. Look at me now. Please look at me. Would you lift your hand if you don't know Jesus? If you want to get right with God, just lift it up and I'll pray for you this morning, right where you're standing, in Jesus' name. Let's all close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Friend, if that is you, and God is in this room, God is in your home where you're watching, in your hotel. If you'll just lift your hand right now and say, Steve, pray for me. I don't know Jesus as you speak of, but I want to get right with God. God bless you, sir. Right up the very back there. I see that hand. Who else would just lift your hands and say, Steve, pray for me. I need to get right with God. I need to come back to God. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. I know there are others here this morning that need to make that decision. You click that button right there on the online saying, I'm making a decision. I'm looking around. Come on, who else is there? Lift it up. Nice and high. God bless you, sir. There's a lot of men today making a decision for Jesus. Who else today would just lift your hand and say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include my... This is my last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, would you lift it right now? Would you lift it right now? God bless you. I see that hand. Wonderful. Anybody else? Lift it right now. Give it a wave if I haven't seen it, because I want to pray with you and for you in the name of Jesus. Church, don't be worrying about the time right now. Let's give God praise for every single person and everybody online. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I ask you today to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.